An elephant in the garden. Ring of Fire. My 16th birthday was on the 9th of February, 1945, a day I shall never forget, and not because I had a lot of presents or a lot of friends to the house for a party. There was no money for that, and besides, no one was in the mood to celebrate anything. Muddy and Carly had made me a birthday card and gave it to me at breakfast. I remember it was kind of a collage, full of cut-out pictures of circus life with clowns and acrobats and jugglers and horses and elephants, of course. Lots of elephants. I put it up on the mantelpiece behind Pappy's photograph before we went off to school that morning. When we got home in the evening, Muddy was not there. This did not surprise us. We had got used to her being late home these days. But on this particular evening, she was even later than usual. I was beginning to get a little worried when I heard the garden gate squeaking open. Then Muddy was calling to us from the garden. She was coming in through the back way. I thought it was a bit strange, but did not think anything more about it. I was just relieved she was home. She came in the back door, stamping the snow off her boots. She was carrying a sack over her shoulders. "Potatoes," she said, dumping the sack on the floor and sitting herself down heavily at the kitchen table. She was breathless and glowing from the cold, and happy too, as happy as I had seen her in a long time. "I shall make a potato soup for your birthday, Elizabeth, with a little ham. I have little ham left. I shall make you the best potato soup a mother ever made for a daughter, and I have a present for you, a surprise." "A surprise?" I said. "Of course," she laughed. "You can hardly have a birthday without a surprise, can you? And I promise you, it'll be the biggest surprise ever had, too." It is outside in the garden. I think it is maybe a little bit too big to bring inside. Carly got to the window before I did, which irritated me, because, to my mind, this was my birthday, my surprise, not his. I pushed him out of the way. I could see it was still snowing outside, but at first I could see very little else. By now, Carly had rushed to the back door and opened it. "There is an elephant in the garden, Muddy," he cried. "Why is there an elephant in our garden?" Then I saw her too, a huge shadow that moved and became an elephant as it came towards me into the light from the window. Muddy had her arms around me and was kissing the top of my head. "My secret, remember?" she whispered. "Happy birthday, Elizabeth." "It is Marlene," cried Carly, leaping up and down in delight. "Is that really her?" I said. I was still not sure whether my eyes were deceiving me or not. It took a little while to persuade her director, but in the end I managed it, Muddy told me. I told him the truth, that if anything happened to her, it would break Carly's heart. And I also convinced him that Marley needed me night and day now, that without her mother, she might, well, just pine away and die of sadness. I had to be there with her all the time. And that is true, quite true. I'm sure of it. Even better, I got him to promise me that that Marlene will be spared if the other animals have to be shot if the bombers come. She might be big, I told him, but she is still only young, gentle as a kitten, and no danger to anyone. He was not at all easy to persuade, but, as you know, I can be very insistent. From now on, Marlene will be coming home with me from the zoo every evening, and I shall take her back to the zoo every morning. We shall not let her out of our sight. She lives with us like one of the family. So, for your birthday, Elizabeth, you have a new little sister. Well, a big sister, I suppose. And she's my sister, too, cried Carly, beside himself with excitement. I remember the exact words he used then. Wunderbar, azungnat, wonderful, excellent. I had no words. I think I was still too amazed to think of any. Tonight, Marty went on, we will have potatoes. Marlene loves to eat potatoes. She loves to be hand-fed, doesn't she, Carly? Remember? And now we can all do that, can't we? She eats a lot of potatoes, but the good thing is that she doesn't seem to mind when the half-bad potatoes, the ones people won't eat. We ate our steaming potato soup that night. Marlene eyed us through the window, the end of her trunk exploring the glass. Afterwards, we went outside in the snow, and Carly reached up, took her by the trunk, and led her into the woodshed, which was half empty, so there was plenty of room for her to shelter from the snow. We stood beside her, stroking her ear and feeding her potatoes, as if he'd been doing it all his life, talking to her all the while. And Marlene talked back, too, in her own way. No, she did. She really did, groaning and grunting and rumbling. She had a whole language of her own.